Kingdom greetings, everybody. We hope kingdom greetings. You know, I told you this is how you say good morning in heaven, all right? So kingdom greetings. Yeah. I also want to take this time to once again to welcome you. If this is your first time here, we hope that the presence of Jesus touch you. That's it. I also want to say a special welcome to my friend Eric. Welcome, Eric. I just met Eric, so it's good to have you. Yes, sir. You know, when we talk about ways to be involved in our community, you know, for example, for me, I'm always like, yeah, I definitely need to clean this because there's a... So I went I went again for an eye check. The doctor said, yep, it happens. Between 45 and 50, this is what I said. Oh, and I rebuked that, but yeah, the body is going down. You know, she said, well, when you're 50, between 50 and 60, this is what's going to happen to you. I said, I rebuked that, but I understand. But, you know, the body goes down. my eyes is not getting younger, you know. So I was just like, I wonder why my glasses just bothering me. I need better ones already. So anyhow, you know, when we talk about ways to be involved in our community, for me, I pray, I said, Lord, what are you doing in Virginia Beach? What are you doing in Chesapeake, in Norfolk? And a lot of times, even for us believers, when we pray, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you so much, my dear friend. Oh, yes. It was cloudy. Thank you, Kathy. So we pray, you know, our Father, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But we forgot that God's not going to send his angels to establish the kingdom. God wants to use you and I to establish his kingdom. But most of the time, we don't want to work, you know? We don't want to put the hard work in discipling people. I tell you, a church that's not discipling, I don't know what kind of church it is. Jesus called us to disciple people. You know, he said, go and preach the good news and then teach them how to observe. That's the process of making disciples. You know, so God created us to worship. God created mankind. We were created for intimacy. So you will worship something. I tell you, each of us here have an idol. You have something. And if you're not careful, I mean, I strive to make Jesus, God the Creator, to be my worship, my idol. But all of us, sometimes, you know, have you ever, you know, been wanted something? You want the thing so much and you can't sleep. You think about it all the time. And then you save your money or you do whatever you got to do. And then there's that anticipation and excitement to get the thing that you want so much. You worship, you want it. You know, you adore it, you love it. And then you finally get it. And then after you got it, the excitement is awesome. 2 days, 3 days, a couple weeks, a couple months, and then you're used to it. And then you realize you need something else. I mean... I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Okay. I've experienced that. But then I come to realize that nothing in this world will satisfy. You know, and when Aaron shared, he's like, and when you were talking, you remind me of a friend of mine. His name is Will Williams. You know, he dealt with the same thing. Love wrestling. And there is a time in his life, the Lord says, you know what? This is an idol in your life. See, God wants your idol. And this morning, I want to continue to talk to you about Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And the title of my message is The Suffering Church of Smyrna. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. And as I open your word, Lord, thank you for teaching us. And for taking, Holy Spirit, thank you for taking what belongs to the Father and reveal it to us. Lord, I pray that you would prepare the hearts of people here, the hearts of people watching now online, the heart of people that will be tapping to this later on, Lord. Father, I position myself so I could be used by you. Use me, Lord. Use my mouth. Use everything I have to teach your word to these your sons and your daughters. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so the message to Smyrna, what they call a suffering church. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. Now, I have two versions. I don't know if you can pull the NLT, but I also have the New King James Version. I've been reading from the New King James Version lately. I really like the New King James Version too. It says from the NLT, write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. Now remember, every time in the seven letters, every time Jesus makes mention to the angel of the church, he's talking to the pastor. Okay, the Greek word translated angel here is not the flying angels, okay? He's talking about to the chief, the little pastor. Jesus Christ is the big shepherd, the great shepherd. And right now in this church, I am the little guy, okay? And I surround myself with some great people helping me, okay? So he says, write to Ricardo this letter, you know? So this is the message from the one who is the first and the last and who was dead but now is alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer 10 days, but you will remain faithful even when facing death. If you remain faithful even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Now, anyone with ears to hear to the Spirit must listen to the Spirit and understand what is being said to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be ashamed or will not be harmed by the second death. You know, I know some of you read from the New King James. It says, and to the angels of the church in Smyrna, write. These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful with until death, so I will give you the crown of life. He who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. You know, the other day I was at the gym. You know, I was doing some kind of bicycle. Okay, I was doing bicycle, and I'm looking around. I mean, there was a lot of people that day. I said, you know what we're doing? We're trying to stay young and healthy, which is good. But it doesn't matter how much stuff we do to stay young, we will get old. It's good to stay healthy. So everyone will die. There's nothing none of us can do about physical death. You know, my eyes, there's nothing I can do about my eyes going weaker and weaker. Because I guess it's just part of the fallen world. The body decay. You know, sometimes you can do surgery. You know, I've heard people that had surgery surgery, and after a couple of days, or after a couple of months, or a couple of years, they have still have to wear some kind of reading or some kind of glasses. But there is something you and I can do about the second death. I mean, wouldn't you wanna? I know all of you, most of you here, if not all of you, have a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, when I read Revelation chapter 2, we know, for example, I mean, we know for sure that Smyrna was found twice in the word Smyrna was found twice in the Bible. But, you know, the Bible doesn't really talk about Smyrna. The only time we hear about the seven churches is in Revelation. And we also know that Smyrna was 25, I think I have on the next slide here, Smyrna was 35 miles north from Ephesus. Actually, the other one, yeah. You know, so the route was just like that, you know, like you see it here. John was in Patmos, and then, of course, Jesus gave him those letters, and then the messenger took the letters from Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, you know, so the route goes clockwise. Okay, just like that. So right now, last month I spent 3 weeks in Ephesus. Today I'm gonna be in Smyrna, and then we'll just see how far we go. I mean, I told you, it might take me forever to finish Revelation. You know, but I know some of you were done reading Revelation, and there's a study we're doing in home groups. I encourage you read the book of Revelation. I'm so excited about the return of Christ. You know. So, also, the city of Smyrna was about 35 miles north of Ephesus. It was nicknamed the Port of Asia because it had excellent harbor on the Aegean Sea. The church in the city of Smyrna struggled with two things. I'd say two hostile forces, especially when you read Revelation here. It struggled with, number one, a Jewish population strongly opposed to Christianity. So you think right now the church is being rejected by our society? Christian faith is being rejected by our society. People think, some people think Christian is stiff. But I'll tell you why, and I pray that you're not stiff in the Lord. Religious people are stiff. But there's life in Jesus. I tell you, there is no reason for you, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, there is no reason for you to have a gloomy face. You know those people that's got grumpy face? Grumpy face. You don't have to be grumpy. Yes, we do have bad days. We do feel grumpy sometimes. But I'm talking about the joy of the Lord being your strength. You know, we sing, I still got joy in chaos. It's been our songs in the past couple of weeks. I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace. That makes no sense. You know what? People are like, man, how come you have peace in the midst of this storm? I have peace in the midst of the storm because the guy that's in my boat is the owner, is the king of the storm. And I pray each of you here, you experience the same thing. So the church in Smyrna was experiencing that opposition from who? Jews. You know, the crazy thing is, I'd say the sad thing was the Jews, a lot of them missed the first coming of Christ. They were still, actually, there are still Jews right now waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The Jews, there are Jews who don't believe that Jesus came. And the church of Smyrna also dealt with the non-Jewish population who was loyal to Rome and support the emperor's religion. So therefore, let's say you have a church who's being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. Persecution is coming from Jews, and also persecution is coming from another group who says your religion is not the right religion. And then here's a summary for Smyrna. Next slide. In this letter to Smyrna, Jesus The title for Jesus is the first, he's the first and the last who was dead and came to life. What was the commendation? The church was afflicted, poor, persecuted, yet faithful and rich. And I want us to think about those. Oh, not that one. The next one. Actually, keep going. Yeah, right there. Afflicted. Think about that. Someone who's suffering. Someone who could also be sad. Persecuted. A lot of them were running for their faith, hiding for their faith. Poor. We don't like poor. Poverty. We don't like poverty. Nobody likes to be poor. But these are the words of Jesus. Listen to this. The church, the people in the church. And it says, I read this week, there's a lot of commentary about, you know, in church history about Smyrna. They said it was a small church. Some people said the church was about between 35 and 75 people. I'm like, oh, that's right. I like it. God bless the mega church. But these letters were, this letter to Smyrna, church history says that church had possibly between 35 and 70, 75 people. Afflicted, a church that's afflicted, a church that's poor, under persecution, yet faithful, and rich. Wow. You tell me, how can you be afflicted, poor, under persecution, and yet being called rich? You see, from the world system, prosperity from the world system goes like this. The top job, top dollars, the best good-looking car for the moment, be driving it, living in such community. We're talking about from our perspective. You know, sometimes you see someone driving this car, you're like, oh man, they must have money. And they must be rich. My brothers and sisters, look at this. Jesus wrote to the leader, to the angel responsible, the church, the pastor in Smyrna. He says, this is the recommendation I have for you. I see your misery. I see your suffering. As a matter of fact, I see you. You're a bunch of poor people. You're just a bunch of poor people. You know, poor people are dirty. Poor people, they sometimes don't have the means to wear nice clothes. But I see your faithfulness. Huh? You're rich in the Lord. What was the complaint? None. What was the complaint God had against the Ephesus church? Remind me, please. You lost your first love. Now, here in Smyrna, what was the complaint? None. And we know that the church in Ephesus was not a poor. Jesus didn't say you were poor. They weren't under persecution. It is during that time, this time, you know, the church of Smyrna, the year was, the year they're talking about here, according to church history, is the year 100 to 312 after death, AD. Okay, so I know a lot of us, we have, some people have, like, you remember the fish sign for Christian? You remember how, I don't know if you knew how that came about. During that time, Christians were under persecution. So therefore, some of them, a couple of the leaders came up with the idea, you know, when you get to a place, you know, there's a lot of people, or you start talking about something that might relate to Christ, before you open up yourself, you do this on the sand, on the ground. You know, you do this. So it would be like our talk. So our church would share the same secret with the next church, you know, church the next town. And then before you know it, all the Christian would have that secret language. If I do this, so okay, I'm like, okay, if I get to a place and we start talking and I go like this on the ground, I want to talk to Kathy, I do this. If Kathy is not part of the way, the follower of the way, she won't know what I'm doing. But if Kathy knows, she'll knock her head, and then I move. And then somehow Kathy would make herself over there, and then close the circle, and make the fish. That's just history. You don't have to worry about that. It's just good stuff. But you know, now we put that stuff on our car to label ourselves as Christians. Be careful. I mean, most people kind of know, yeah, this is like the fish, you know. Try not to cut people off with that sign on your car. Idiot. Can I give you an advice? Be careful. You know, that little sign, I don't have one on my car, but I would rather put it on my dashboard than in my car. Live your faith out loud. Live it out loud. You know, true wealth is being rich in relationship with Jesus. And I pray today, listen to me, I pray today that you would long true wealth. Oh, you would long true wealth. You would long true wealth. You would go after the riches that nobody can steal away from you. Rust. Think, go after true wealth. Young people, young adult, older people, listen to me. Let's go after true wealth. Because sometimes we kill ourselves after the earthly wealth. And then we're not faithful. God's looking at you. He's like, you're not faithful. I've called you. I want the Lord to find me faithful in what he calls me. True wealth is not having a bunch of money at the bank. At the end of the day, what are you going to do with them? I tell you, it's probably nice. Kendra said it. The best thing for you to do if you feel like you worship money is to give it away. Don't give all of it away, but make sure you give. But don't give because you have so much. Give sacrificially. Give your tithe. Help your ministry. You know, find a group that's doing the work of the ministry. Give it. True wealth, guys, listen to me, is not earthly riches. It does not matter how much you have. Jesus said it to the church of Smyrna. I know you're poor. I know you don't have much stuff. Oh, man. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I talk to people. You know, I talk to people all the time. I talk to people this week that only ate once a week. How is that possible? They don't have it. But yet they're rich in faith. I don't know if you ever talk to somebody where you see their faith. Then you're like, well, how come their faith doesn't provide food for them? You don't understand. Here's the word of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it really won't matter how much stuff you have. How much stuff do you have? You have stuff overflow? Not only that, you have so much stuff that you even rent. I mean, I tell you, the American dream, they know how to get you. You have so much stuff, you don't have any more stuff, any more place in your garage at home, then you go and rent a storage place for your stuff. Then you're paying $120 for. Come to your senses. Get rid of stuff. Get rid of stuff. Start collecting the stuff that won't perish. Start collecting the stuff that will not perish. Seek God. Go after Jesus. Go after prayer. Find someone who is on fire for Jesus and be their friend. Go to your home group. You never have time for God. You always have time to go after. I mean, sometimes you find two jobs. You work two jobs. It's all good, my brothers and my sisters. Listen to my heart. True wealth is not a bunch of stuff. Put your priorities straight. Because at the end of the day, this is the word of the Lord. Man, commendation. Man, I see you afflicted. Oh, man, I see your poverty. I see you under persecution for your faith. You know, the church, the Christians in Smyrna, they were bold. They were bold. They weren't afraid. They didn't care about dying. Well, because they got the revelation in verse 11. Verse 11 says, if you remain victorious, they're faithful. But if you remain victorious, you'll escape the second death. So the church in Smyrna understood, born once, die twice. So therefore, they were born twice, so they would only die once. I'll explain that a little bit, in a little bit. You know, and I want us to, Jesus, help us. And I pray, as I was getting ready for this, I pray that the word of the Lord is burning your heart to realize how poor you are. Bless all the poor in spirit. I go to God every day. I'm like, Lord, I need you, Jesus. Oh, I need you. I don't have time to give you testimony. I'll give you a testimony later, the work the Lord did in my heart this week. Some things I was just struggling with again. In forgiving people, forgiving my family. You know, I'll give you a testimony some other time. The Lord set me free. There's no time to be struggling with sin. There's no time to not having joy of the Lord. God, I mean, I got it the other day. I mean, I'm reading this. I'm like, okay, God, I want to work hard. I want to work to provide for my family. It's nice to, I mean, especially here in America, they're hiring everywhere. So you shouldn't be broke. Okay? You shouldn't be broke. See, it's not going to rain money from heaven, okay? There's no prayer. Let me tell you this. I'm a pastor. I've read through the Bible. There's no prayer you can pray to get rich. You got to work hard to get financially good. But guess what? Those things, at the end of the day, won't matter if you are poor in relationship. Now, let's take some time to look at what the Bible says about our spiritual riches. You know, I just come up with a couple lists. A couple on this list. God's kindness. You know, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. You don't have to open it. I'm going to read for you. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 talks about the riches of God's kindness. It says, or do you desire the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. The goodness of God. I want to be rich in goodness. And I want to be rich in God's goodness. You know, it's like, I know God is so good for me, good to me. So therefore, the Bible says here in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, God's goodness leads us to repentance. That's why right now, no one's under judgment. No one is under judgment. Romans chapter 9, verse 3 talks about the riches of his glory. Also, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and his glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply. What are your needs? But most of the time we think, well, God, I need more money. Did you know in the kingdom, prosperity, we're not talking about the prosperity gospel, right? Prosperity gospel, sometimes they put money first. No. in the kingdom, the first thing is holiness. If you want to be rich in relationship with God, you seek holiness, because God is a holy God. I seek to be like Christ. And then, you know, you got love. Romans chapter 11 verse 33 talks about the riches of knowledge and wisdom of God. Knowledge and wisdom of God. I mean, you see how the world's foolish? You see people that's got all sorts of degrees, all sorts of doctorates, and yet lack knowledge. You know why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge of the Holy One is the beginning of wisdom. You know, I read from Romans 11, it says, "Oh, the death of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable, and his judgment and his ways past finding us." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 talks about the riches of God's grace. In him we have redemption through his blood. That's why we took communion earlier. We have redemption. I've been redeemed. So you don't have to stand in the presence of God condemned. You can stand being free. I've been redeemed. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8 also talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentile the unsearchable grace of Christ. So we are all rich in Jesus. But then you have to accept it. You have to accept Jesus first. Jesus reminded the church of Smyrna that material position doesn't make you rich. You know, there's a parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 25, if you open your Bibles. Luke chapter 12, verse 25. Let's look at it. The parable of the rich fool. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 25. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Be aware, guard against every kind of greed." Wow. Life is not measured by how much you owned. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "Oh man, life is good. What should I do? Man, I tell you, look at my bank account. I don't have enough room to put everything I have. I'm going to tear down some of the small storage. I'm going to build big ones. Then I have room for all my stuff." And then, guess what? I'm going to sit back and relax and enjoy life and feel rich. But then God said to him, "You fool. Man, who will die? You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked hard for?" Yes, yes, underline this in your Bibles. A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with Jesus. Oh, that's what I want. Anybody with me? I want a rich relationship with Jesus. I don't want to just talk about Jesus, but I want my life to reflect the character of Christ. You know, Revelation chapter 2 verse 10, Jesus talks a lot. I mean, Jesus, in chapter 10 where it says, "You will suffer for 10 days. I mean, if somebody will tell you, "You will suffer for your faith for 10 days, you're like, okay, well, then comes the 11th day. All right? So if I could only make it for 10 days, then guess what? 11th day. Now, when you do Bible history, those 10 days doesn't necessarily mean literally 10 days. They made reference about the 10, what they call the 10 worst of Roman Empire's persecution. The 10 worst. Now listen, I'm just going to read them to you. Nero, year 64 to 68 AD, he burned Rome and he blamed Christians. He crucified and threw Christians into pits with wild animals. He executed Paul and Peter. And he made Christians into human torches. Nero, from year 64 to 68. And then secondly came the emperor of Domitian, year 92 to 96. He killed thousands in Rome. And he banished, he's the one that banished John, Apostle John, to the island of Patmos. And then we had Trajan. He reigned from year 104 to 117 AD. He outlawed Christianity. He burned Ignatius. Ignatius was one of the Christians that was very famous during that time. Wow. After him was Marcus Aurelius. Aren't you glad you don't call your kids Aurelius anymore? You know? He reigned from 161 to 180, 180 after death. He tortured and beheaded many, many Christians. He killed one of the prominent Christians during that time. His name was Justin. And the next one came Septimus. He reigned from year 202 and 211. He burned and crucified and beheaded many Christians. Wow. Then came Maximinus. He reigned from 235 to 237. He executed many Christians. And then after him was Decius. He reigned from 252 to 253. He tried to kill Alexander, but you know what? A lot of times God delivered Christians under their hands. Wow. And then you have, dunce. Are you afraid of persecution? I tell you, if you can't serve Christ right now when life is just good, what would you do if you would be under persecution? What would you do if you'd be under persecution? You think it's so hard to serve Jesus? I'm so tired to go to prayer. I'm so tired to go to home group. I can't do life group because I'm too exhausted. Okay, you gotta want it. I can't want it for you. You gotta want it. What wealth are you looking after? I want to be rich in relationship with Jesus. I want that. And nothing's going to stop me. And I challenge you, church, to go after the same thing. Persecution comes from Satan, not from God. Satan, the devil, will cause believers to be thrown into prison and even killed as we speak today. As we speak today. 70% of Christians in the world are under persecution. Thank God we still have the freedom to do this. In China, you can't do this. India, you can't do this. There's a lot of other countries in the world, you can't do this. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 4, it says, "Look, I'm coming soon, bringing my reward with me, to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha, the Omega, and the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gate and the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life." I pray all of you here have a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you accept Christ for your Savior. If you have a, what they call, a clopi clopin, Help, everybody help me. Klopi klopan. I'll tell you what it means. It means like, you know, ups and downs. A yo-yo. This is klopi klopan. Help me out. Klopi klopan. Yeah. Mediocre. You say, man, why are you being klopi klopan? Why are you doing the klopi klopan work? See, guys, I'm learning English. Come on, you got to learn some Creole words too, right? Okay, come on now, help me out. When you see me next time, ask me, hey, pastor, are you feeling klopi klopan? Klopi klopan, all right? But listen, you cannot live a klopi klopan life and pretend you're going to heaven. Oh, I'm going to heaven. Oh, when you die, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. Really? It says here in verse 11, those who remain victorious. Jesus said it here. I am the first, the last. I'm coming soon. I'm bringing my reward with me to pay people for all their deeds. If you have sin in your life, repent. If you feel lukewarm, repent. If you feel like, where's my fire for Jesus? Where's my passion for Jesus? Where's my passion for Jesus? I have no passion. I don't want Christ. Well, guess what? I'll give you a good advice. Accept Christ. Accept it. Accept Him. Believe the word of Jesus. Believe. Because time is short. Don't think you have this long life in front of you. No, life's not long. Even if you're 12. Even if you're like 16, you think, man, I've got all this life. Bend your knees. Bend your knees. A call to remain faithful. And this is my conclusion. I told you, born once, die. Go back to my previous one. A call to remain faithful. Born once, die twice. Born twice, you die once. Revelation chapter 20 verse 14 says, then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 says, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft. You know witchcraft? I hope none of us here are doing this. You're sitting around at home and watching Medium. Or you're watching vampire movie. You open yourself for demonic activities in your home. And you wonder why you can't sleep. You wonder why you don't have peace. You know, you're watching all sorts of murder and evil stuff in your house. Well, I mean, you open the spiritual sphere of your home for demonic activities. You know, sometimes we Americans, we practice witchcraft without knowing it. I grew up in a culture where voodoo is prevalent. I mean, we know what voodoo is. We know the difference between the power of the devil and the power of the cross. And we know the power of the cross is more powerful. But I also see the influence, people that are under the influence of demons. And there's a lot of people here in America. They medicated it. They're so under influence of demons. The way people act. And you wonder why. You know, sometimes life is not scary enough. So we have Halloween. They go through a tunnel to scare them. And you wonder why you can't sleep. And it's all on the name of culture. But you don't understand. As citizens of heaven, there are certain things you do not adapt to. American culture, Haitian culture, Canadian culture is not your culture. My culture is kingdom culture. You wonder, why am I so tormented? Why is my thoughts are just negative? Well, what is influencing your thought? It says witchcraft, people that practice witchcraft. Idol worshipers. You know, idol worshipers just is not necessarily the things you worship. Sometimes it could be your own life. You know, sometimes people, we love ourselves so much. We think we're so pretty. Oh, there's nobody prettier than me. Ooh. I tell you, there's always someone prettier than you. And if you think about it, it's not big that big of a deal. Stop worshiping yourself. Accepting yourself for who God created you. I said it before, and I'm going to repeat it. You're not prettier. You're not uglier than anybody else. You are wonderfully made. And all liars. I wonder how many people here today are still liars. I wonder how many of us here, you just tell lies. And it's not just accident. How could you lie by accident? Is that possible? I didn't mean to say that. Just think about it. Think about it. Liars. There. This is the word of the Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Liars. All liars. There's no such a thing. It was just a little lie. It wasn't a big lie. This lie didn't kill anybody. There it is. All liars. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Don't add, don't take. Be children of the light. Be sons and daughters of the light. Come on, guys. Listen to me. Be daughters, sons of the light. Let your yes be yes. You have nothing to hide. You find me at 3 a.m, here I am. You find me 6 a.m, here I am. Behind closed doors, by myself, here I am. The same person. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is right here with me. I live by the fear of Jesus. I might not have much stuff, but I want my Abba to look at me to say, you know what? I see you don't have much stuff. But you know, you're so rich. You're so rich. This morning I stir your heart. I release fire on you to go after riches from kingdom. Why? It says their fate is in the fury lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And then my next slide is Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And I want you to watch. I have a video I want you to watch. That's my conclusion. The next slide. No, not this one. Not this one. It says, look, I'm coming soon, Jesus said, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. You know, and this video, I found it a couple months ago, but I saved it. I thought I was going to show it last week. It's a testimony about Wayne, a pastor who went to Africa and minister to the underground church. China. And the testimony is 2 minutes. And I figured instead of me coming here and share it from my perspective, I'm just going to play it on the screen. And it fits perfectly because it's a good conclusion testimony to challenge you. Just listen to it. You ready? Make sure the computer sound is on.
Let me finish with this story. We go to China from time to time, and we train leaders. And this time we brought up 22 leaders from the Hunan province, and they rode 13 hours on a train to get to a hotel that they came up two by two in these elevators so as to not draw any attention. And then they got to a hotel room, a little apartment room. It's only about 700 square feet in the little living room, no air conditioning, hardwood floor, 22 sat there. I came in, and when you teach in China, you start at 8 in the morning, and you don't get done till 5 at night. You teach the whole day. They were sitting there, all 22 of them, and I looked around, and I said, now, if we get caught, what will happen to me? They said, oh, you'll get deported in 24 hours, and we'll go to prison for 3 years. I said, you're kidding. How many of you have been in prison for your faith? Out of 22, 18 raised their hands. I thought, no way. And I looked at him and I said, you 22 people, how many people do you oversee? Because they were all of these small group leaders, underground church leaders in the Hunan province. I said, how many, if you counted up all the people under your jurisdiction, how many would it be? And they counted them up and they said, little over 20 million. I said, what? See, we forget there's 1.3 billion people in China. This is crazy. Well, I had 15 Bibles and I passed them out. Obviously, 7 didn't get them. And I said, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and we're going to read it. And just then, one lady handed hers to somebody next to her. And I thought, interesting. Well, we turned there anyway. And as we started reading it, I understood why she gave it away. She had memorized the whole thing. She just recited the whole chapter. When it was done, I went over to her at a break and I said, you recited the whole chapter. She says, oh yes, I've memorized many chapters. I said, where did you memorize many chapters? She said, in prison. I said, you have much time in prison. So I said, but don't they confiscate the Bible? And she said, yes. So people bring in scriptures written on pieces of paper and they bring it in. So I said, but then if they find that piece of paper on you, won't they confiscate that? She said, oh, yes, that's why you memorize it as fast as you can. Because even though they can take the paper away, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. I thought, wow. Well, after 3 days, you fall in love with these people. And when it was done, I said, how can I pray for you? I'm going to go back to America. And you guys have been just so wonderful. How can I pray for you? They said, you know, Wayne, you guys can gather like this whenever you want to in America. We can't. Could you pray that one day we'll be just like you? And I looked at him and I said, I will not do that. Big, incredulous eyes looked at me and they said, why? I said, because you guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you've got to drive more than an hour, people don't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat not only here for 3 days on a hard wooden floor, but you did it without air conditioning. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people don't often come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper. I will not pray that we become like you become like us, but I will pray that we become just like you.
Perspective, huh? I'm going to take a couple minutes to give you the opportunity to respond to God's word today. Recommendation: afflicted, persecuted, you don't have much stuff, but yet you're faithful. Have you been faithful to Jesus? Are you faithful to the call? Or have you burned out from serving Christ? I'm not saying good luck, because that's a bad position to be. If you burn out this morning, if you feel like, you know what, I need my fire again, I'll invite you to come to the cross. No one's gonna pray for you. You're gonna make us, you know. Just, I know sometimes when I give time for you guys to come, maybe you don't have to come, but I figured that's the best thing I can do. I invite you to come to the altar. If you feel like there are some things that need to change in your life, I pray that the Holy Spirit, you know, this testimony, I'll send the link from to you this week. Listen to it again. It just encourages me. I want to be rich in relationship. So I'm just going to play something on the piano and just answer to the Lord, to the word of Jesus this morning.
contain, I can't control. We want more of you, God. I want more of you. If that's your prayer this morning, I'll invite you to stand up. Stand in the presence of the Lord with your heart wide open. Let him know that you want more. I want more of you. Let's pray that. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more. Just that. Repeat that. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, Father. I want more of you. Pray. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control.
Father, we want more of you, Lord. I don't want leftovers.
Father, this is our heart's cry today. Oh, nothing else will do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters. I thank you for the way you are rekindling their passion. Lord, I thank you for the way you are just revealing yourself to them, Lord. Father, we want to be the church in Smyrna. Smyrna, Jesus. We want to be like Smyrna, Jesus, here at Restoration Church. Lord, I want to be like the church in Smyrna. Even in America, we're not under persecution yet, physical persecution. But Lord, I want you to find us faithful. Oh, I want you to find us faithful, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place, God. Thank you for the way you are rekindling our passion for you, our passion for holiness. Thank you, Lord, for the way you're opening up our eyes so we can see you, Lord God. Father, we break every walls. We break every chains that binds us. I break every chains in the name of Jesus. I break every chains of idolatry. I break every chains of sin, God. I pray for our young people here, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd set them on fire, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself to them. Continue to reveal yourself to them, God. I pray, Jesus, for just right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord God, I pray that you'd do it right now in their hearts. Do the things that only you do, God. Only you do it. As the day of your return approach, God. Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in our midst. Father, I pray that when the trumpet sound, you would find us ready. We ask that you would forgive our sins. Lord, we ask that you would give us the ability to just forgive and release people that have sinned against us. There's no time to live in bitterness. There's no time to live in regrets. There's no time to live in bitterness. There's no time to live in regrets. There's no time to live in bitterness. There's no time to live in regrets. There's no time. I don't have time to maintain on the things that were in the past. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward in Jesus. I'm moving forward with your anointing, God. There's no time for us to play religion. There's no time, Jesus, for us to play a service. I want to be sold out to you. All for you. All after you, Jesus. All for your service, Lord. All for fellowship. Lord, burn us with your fire, Jesus. Burn our hearts, burn our hearts, burn our hearts. Father, I pray that you'd convince us of our sin. Holy Spirit, you do it. You convince us. Because the Bible says when you come, when the Holy Spirit comes, it convinces us of our sins. It convinces us of judgment. You do it, Jesus. You do it. Lord, I pray even right now that you'd stretch out your hands and you heal us physically. You heal people online. You heal people here in this place. You heal people watching this now or later. God, you do it. You prove, Lord, I've been praying and I said, Lord, you prove your word. The words I preach here in this place, that you prove them. You prove your word is true. You do it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we want more of you, Abba. You want more of your presence, more of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we give you room, Holy Spirit, to do your work. Oh, burn our hearts. Burn our hearts, Lord. Burn our hearts. You just pray that. Burn my heart, Holy Spirit. Be renewed by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just receive a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now. You know, I encourage you, if you are able to pray in your spirit language, just release your, you know, just release it and receive it. If you haven't yet, just receive it.